Hey guys, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. First of all, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show and being a supporter of us along this entire way. We've been at it for about 5.5 years, and we seriously appreciate the hell out of every single one of you that's ever shared anything, liked anything, downloaded an episode, reached out with kind words, anything. Thank you so much. And if you don't like our show and told us, yeah, thanks too. We appreciate all of it. I guess no news is probably bad news, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, thank you. This podcast is our first night in our Wyoming bear camp. We did a couple podcasts that day. We did a couple road trip podcasts, about whitetails and stuff. So that's coming down the pipe. But we just were having fun with it, right? Like, we recorded one podcast and we're like, hey, let's just do our first night in bear camp type episode. And so we talk about getting into camp, and then at the end, we're talking about bucket list hunts and all sorts of random BS stuff. So we just had a good time, set up the recorder, recording in a wall tent in Wyoming, and just had a blast with it. You know, that's what podcasting's about, and that's what hunting's about, and friendship and all the good stuff. So we hope you enjoy. We weren't really on mics on this one. We kind of had the recorder set in between us all, but I still think it sounds good enough, and you get that good, that camp feel podcast, out of this one. So hope you enjoy it. The podcast is presented by HHA, single pin sites, and we have a code for their website. It's WCB15, so you can save yourself some coin on a new site and or Virtus drop away rest. And all of HHA products have a lifetime warranty, and I think that right there, for guys that are doing backcountry hunts or tough on equipment, if you drop a bow out of a tree stand and you break your rest or your sight, you don't really have to sweat it. You know, it sucks in the moment, but you're covered. So it's kind of like an insurance plan with every HHA product. Also, scent crusher. We use a scent crusher on this trip a lot. We didn't have a lot of power, but when we did, I made sure to plug in my gear bag and run like a 30-minute cycle on my clothes because, man, it was getting rank. You know, not a lot of showering going on. The old traditional horse bath with wet wipes or wipe down in the creek. It's kind of fun. Adds to it, but scent crusher saved our ass. Thermoset, Victory Archery. We're all shooting the RIP TKOs. So that's good stuff there, man. Those arrows are indestructible. I think almost everybody in camp was shooting the Victory RIP TKOs, which was cool. It's cool to see. Big time. We have a code right now if you're wanting to get some food plot seed. It's WCB2020. You can save yourself 20% on food plot seed. Hunter's Blend Coffee. We took some with. I left it in camp for everybody. And Old Barn Taxidermy. We got a lot of stories and an episode coming up with Old Barn, but as these bear camp episodes roll on, we'll probably talk more about, sorry about my phone there, we'll probably talk about bear taxidermy and taxidermy in general and what to look for in a good taxidermist. But love Old Barn, great people over there. They make you feel good when you drop an animal off. They help you walk through your decision-making on that. And our shoot's coming up June 20th. It is still on June 20th. $20 registration. The public is welcome. If you have any questions, reach out. We have on our website, there's a shoot tab so you can get all the info you need. And I think Old Barn is giving away a shoulder mount at the shoot, which will be pretty awesome. So come on out, have a good time. It's a 30-target 3D course. It's not a competition. Just come out and have fun. And if you register to shoot, then we will draw your name to give away some prizes. And the shoulder mount is in there. So huge thanks to the whole Old Barn Taxidermy crew for that. Also, Gator Outdoors, a lifestyle brand. One of my favorite brands in the game. They're a new and growing company with great people behind it. And their social media is worth following. I think they're kind of like the epitome of what a lifestyle brand is with their clothing and all that. We got True Timber jackets from Gator with our logo embroidered on it, so we look all professional. But check out Gator Outdoors. Really proud to be working with that company. Good people, awesome stuff. And I'm going to quit rambling, and we're going to get right into this. We hope you enjoy it. It's a fun camp episode. Let us know what you think. And I think we're planning on doing this camp again next spring. So if you are interested in going on a hunt like this, you know, this is available for everyone. So map that out. You know, if you're wanting to do some sort of bear hunt. And then quick, we might have mentioned it in this episode, Hunter's Box Club. We have a special edition working class bow hunter shirt. It's got Austin Chandler's double drop time buck, like European mounted with some tools in it. And it's got our logo. It's the coolest shirt we've ever had. It's exclusive through Hunter's Box. And if you use code WCB at Hunter's Box, you get it for the price of shipping, which is $4.99. You get that shirt and whatever else, what other goodies are in this box. So, and that's just a box club. You get something cool, a douche t-shirt every month. But our shirt, I think, is the most badass shirt we've ever done with this. So check it out. Code WCB, go there, order the shirt, and it's $4.99. So I don't know how you can beat that. But yeah, Devin Leonard is the owner of that company. He was with us in Bear Camp. Great dude. So it's nice to know there's good people behind a business you're supporting. At least that's how I look at it anyway. All right, I'm rambling. Hope you enjoy. All right, we are day one in Bear Camp in Wyoming. We are... Do we give away a location? We can give away a location.
Oh, yeah.
Because anybody can come and do this hunt.
Yep.
And maybe do it next year. We're near Alpine, Wyoming, and we are literally in a canvas wall tent right now with a wood-burning stove rocking. And this podcast, we kind of just have the recorder set in the middle of a makeshift table. We're all sitting on coolers, having a cocktail. And I'm just going to do a round table. Kurt Geyer, I'm old news.
Ross Bigger here.
Ty Glenn.
Austin Chandler.
And Danny Green.
And we're all hunting bears this week, man. It's going to be awesome. So we already did, we've done a few podcasts, but we said, hey, we got to do day one podcast to kick it off. And this country for a bunch of flatlanders is pretty... pretty amazing, man.
That's a whole new ball game.
Ty, where are you from?
I'm from Salt Lake, so I'm from the mountains, but you come out here, and it's the mountains I'm used to. I'm in Salt Lake City, so there's, you know, huge metropolitan area, and we got the mountains right behind us, and even me coming out here, it's jaw-dropping. You come out here because you're a ways from civilization.
You're
way out in the
world. No cell phone service.
How far of a drive from the nearest town?
How long is that?
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half
drive.
Dude,
the podcast trailer
road?
Took a beating.
It would have been faster had we not had the trailer. But,
but yeah, still, I mean, we're a ways up here.
Hour and a half up into the mountains.
Legitimate.
In the nearest town isn't a big town. It's a town of... maybe 500 people.
Little grocery store, a gas station, and just like a bank, basic necessities.
It's beautiful, and they're side by sides and four wheelers and dirt bikes pulling in and out.
We basically took a side by side trail up here.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was. Yeah,
yeah. I had to stop and be like, "Okay, kick that thing into four wheel drive."
Yeah.
You don't want to get stopped here. Let's keep the momentum
for sure. No, man, it's cool up here. It's beautiful. It's eye opening for a bunch of Midwest boys. You know, I've been in just a little sliver of Wyoming, but to get to actually sleep up here in this and experience this is nuts.
Well, and even for me, like I'm used to the big mountains, but it's a humbling experience for me too. I went and bought that Garmin InReach because I'm so far from cell service that...
Let's talk about that InReach. Let's get into detail because I know I got one. You got one like the day before I bought mine.
Yep.
So go ahead.
So I came up here. And a couple times, so when we were, just to back up a little bit, when we were setting these barrels, kind of the protocol was I was in a Ranger side-by-side with tracks on it, and I had a trailer behind it, and I would load down with bait and barrels, and I'd come up, and then I'd have a couple guys with me who were on snowmobiles. We'd drive up the canyon, and then if you could imagine, like a pack train, we'd come up the canyon, and then they would load up the bait onto the snowmobiles and shoot up little side canyons, and then I'd continue up the canyon.
Yeah.
And I'd sit there for 2-3 hours at a time sometimes, by myself, and we're 25 miles into the backcountry of Wyoming, zero cell service.
Yeah, you're not on your phone on Instagram scrolling.
Yeah, there's zero cell service, and so I'm like, dude, if they roll a snowmobile and get stuck up there... and I don't hear from them, and then I spend the night on the mountain, like, I'm
a long ways
from home.
It's a real problem.
And then I got to figure out how I'm going to get through the night, and then worry about also how I'm going to get them off the mountain. So, got to talking to buddies, and that's when I came across that Garmin InReach, the Mini, and so it's really cool. It Bluetooth links to your phone, and then you can send text messages to your wife or...
which is cool.
To whoever, and so, that was a cool little find, because now... more than anything, it's just keep my wife's mind at ease while I'm up in the backcountry.
Right.
I can send her text messages just saying, hey, how are the girls? How are you? What's going
on? Exactly.
Yep.
That's why my buddy, Jeremy
Meyer, I always fuck his... I know him really well, and I always mess up his last name. Jeremy Meyer, he's from Buckstorm Productions. They're out of South Dakota. I hunted with him in Colorado, and he had a Garmin inReach. Mm-hmm. And his daughter broke her arm while we were on that hunt, like, out there, no cell service. And his wife got in contact with him through that, and then he was able to, like, handle what he needed to handle. Well, he messaged me. Of course, anytime I do a Western hunt, he's one of the first dudes that I call. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm going on this hunt. And he messaged me, like, hey, man, you got a kid now. Like, you got to think about how if something happens to you or happens at home, like, you have to be able to be reached. And I guarantee you won't have service in Wyoming. So I'm like, oh, that's a good point. And Clint Casper rants and raves about them, how awesome they are. And a couple of my other buddies, Jake Powers has one. He was texting me when he was hunting in Colorado at the same time. When I had surface, I was getting texts off his inReach. So I called my wife up. I'm like, hey, you know, Jeremy offered to overnight his inReach to me just so I could use it. And I was going to pay for the unlimited plan, which is like $60. And I was like, my wife, she goes, just go buy one. We're going to need it anyway. Like, you're going to do these hunts and let's just get one. So
that's a good friend right there. Going to overnight his inReach.
He was going to. And that's why I was like, man, I'll just run to like
a field. And a good wife and just tell you to go buy one.
Well, that's, my wife was the same thing. She's like the peace of mind. Same thing, knowing that if something happened with the girls, she could text me, or something happened to me, I could text her. And so she said the same thing. She's like, just go buy one.
Oh, that's an awesome tool to have here, especially, all of us. I mean, there's five of us sitting around here, all with wives, all with kids sitting around.
We're all messaging off my inReach.
And we're all rolling off Kurt's inReach.
It's a cool thing. You know, it's a tool that a lot of guys from Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, Missouri, Indiana, that's our listening base, like, primarily our listening base.
Right.
It's very rare when those guys need that for whitetail hunting. Now, there is places in Missouri. My wife she does a lot of backpacking and camping with her friends. That's her thing, you know. She just went camping in Missouri and had no service for a couple of days, like just none. And she's like, I could use it here and there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a tool. It's a good thing to have. Clint got his. I think he's had his for 3 or 4 years. And I compared you bought yours brand new, right?
Yep.
And so did I. I compared mine to his that he's had for a few years, and it's the same thing. It's so simple, and like the updates are simple that it's not like an iPhone where it's going to go out of date in 3 or 4 years. So $350, $300 worth the investment.
Yeah, it was the day after I bought mine. They went on sale on camofire.com, and it was $299. But $350. It's working off of the Iridium satellite network, whatever the hell that is.
I don't know what that means.
Something above me.
Like, I don't know what it is, but I like it.
Into the sky. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of times that I'm hunting back home and I don't have service. I like to send my wife a pin where I set up my stand.
Yeah. Yep.
And
yep.
If I don't have service, she doesn't know where I'm at.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what's cool.
I just tell her I'm going down this highway.
Dude, that's what's so weird about today, though. Yeah. Like, I look back at when I was a kid and my dad would be. He'd tell my mom, like, hey, we're going to be gone. We'll be back Sunday. And, you know, hopefully we'll be back Sunday. And maybe it'll be Monday. I don't know. And we'd be gone. And now with technology and the way phones are and everything like that, my wife, if I'm not back Sunday, she's going to be shitting her pants.
Yeah, dude. Right. Yep, right.
And so now I'm able to send her a text message and be like, hey, you know, it took longer to get back to camp.
Yeah.
Still going to be home tonight, but I don't have cell service. It's going to be 4 hours later. And so peace of mind for my wife. Yeah. And so she's not jumping down my throat when I get home. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well,
calling the Coast Guard.
It is a good tool. It's not like a text message where it's like your iPhone where it's like bleep, bleep, back and forth. It takes, and it might just be the spot we're at. It takes a little bit of time. Oh Clint Casper's joining the podcast.
Him.
Look who it is. You have to sit over here, Clint.
Cat. Feral himself.
You have to be on this side of the recorder so it picks you up good, because we're doing the old XY attachment. Oh. Come on in, bud. Oh. Sit down, have a seat, get comfy. Oh. Clint Casper, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah! I'll have to edit in a good applause right there. We're talking about the Garmin inReach for this bear camp. And So if you revert back to Clint's Colorado mule deer episode where Clint almost hit the SOS button on his Garmin inReach.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, did you pull the ripcord?
When I rolled my ankle and fell about 40 foot and was at like 13.8 and was trying to get up to about 14 and it was in the dark. And
I didn't think I'd ever say this, Clint, but talk a little louder.
I thought about it. Yeah, it hit my mind for a second. I was kind of fucked up.
Did you?
No. Well, I pulled it together and was able to.
Well, they offer, you know, like insurance plans. Did you see that when you got your?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I think that's for if you hit the SOS button.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's for like mountaineering guys that are doing like sheep.
What's that cost for that SOS button, Clint?
Ooh, I mean, if it's a situation that they don't want to cover, I mean, you can get a couple grand.
I wonder if health insurance would cover anything.
Well, no, but what are the policies cost? Because if you don't have the insurance and you hit the SOS, it could be 40, 50 grand to get a helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
So what does it cost to pay for the plan?
I think on my plan, it's like 5 or 6 grand if it's like a... You know.
Worst case
scenario. Well, here's what I do know. I looked it up on YouTube, like watching YouTube reviews on it. Because like anything, if I'm spending more than $100, I'm like researching shit, you know, like see what it is. And there was a guy did a review. So the SOS button's behind, well, I got it on here in my pocket right now. The SOS button is behind a little like latch door. Yeah.
Covered case.
Yeah. You got to want to push it.
Yeah, like, you got to want to push it. But then once you push it, I think it beeps an alarm and you have 15 seconds to... press and hold it to cancel it, like if it accidentally happened.
Yep.
But the guy in the review, I think
they
was
make
like
it
a
to where if you like if you're going to use it, they want to make sure you want to use it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, he said that a lot of like first responders hate these things because you know you better have like a broken leg or
that's why I was I was trying to figure out how bad my ankle was. Like I ripped my whole ass out of my pants, was bleeding.
Well, sometimes it's hard to gauge like the danger of a situation
with the adrenaline. My biggest thing was it was in the dark, a big storm was rolling in, I'm at high elevation, lightning's bad. Like I'm not scared of bears, I'm not scared of fucking wolves and mountain lions. I don't like lightning because I just don't, because
lightning is scary when you're above timberline.
Yeah.
It's touching anything that's close.
And Colorado is so electric, and you're hunting high country mule deer. So, I mean, you're above timberline the whole fucking hunt, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the situation I was in, now I got a bum ankle. I need to get back to camp, which is 4.5 miles on a fucked up ankle. I started this whole deal. I started stalking my buck at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I got back to camp at 4 a.m. It was like 3:50. Damn near 4 a.m.
Right.
I was hoping to be back by midnight at the latest, knowing that the storm was going to roll in between 11 and 1 is what my in-reach weather was telling me. So, I had to ride a storm out.
Which I haven't used the in-reach weather on.
So, with the weather, it's slick. The way I found out today, the way that that works is it charges you as a message.
Oh, it does.
So, if you request weather, it just charges you as a message.
Even if you have unlimited data?
No, but if you have unlimited, it's not going to charge you as a message. You're just getting
Which that's what I thought.
So, there's some plans below. So, the unlimited messaging, it's like, what?
65 bucks,
somewhere in there. Yeah.
They have some plans below that where you can pay for like 100 messages or 200 messages.
Yeah,
yeah, per month.
But I'll turn it off as soon as I get back home. So I'll only pay like when I want to use it. And I'll turn it back on right before I leave for Colorado in August.
He'll shut it off when he gets back home. It's only going to charge him for the month of May.
I'll pay $65 one time.
Yeah, but that's unlimited too, so as many as you want
to. You can have a conversation all day long if you want with somebody.
But he could do 100 messages for the month of May for, I don't know, I'm totally guessing here, $25, whatever.
Yeah, I think it was like
20 and then anything extra is like, I mean, I kind of like, you know, I'm bad at math because I'm just a white trash hunter, like that. it would add up, you know, like for the week. I don't know what could happen. Like, I might as well just spend
$65. You're better off to spend the money and do the 60 some.
The way I looked at it, I'm like, the way my wife messages me, like, I'm just going to buy the 65.
Yeah. Well, you know, I knew that I was going to utilize it for Ross and Austin's wife and Danny. We texted your old lady. So now I got all your old lady's numbers, so joke's on you.
Four of them.
I knew there was a reason he bought them.
Yeah. Tables have turned. 350. Too bad you can't send pictures on these Garmin inReaches.
We're not even going to start that.
Mine can.
What's up, Brittany, man?
Sam sent me a picture.
Oh, yeah. Sweet girl.
This guy.
Come and trash this podcast.
Feral cat.
But feral, man. No, we're talking about Bear Camp, right? And we got a little off on the inReach, but that's an important tool.
I want to know, like, being a guy who's from the Western United States, you know, I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. This is, like, fairly normal to me being in big mountains like this. What is your guys' thoughts driving into this? like seeing all of this.
I'll let you go, Ross, because you've never seen like Western mountains.
Man,
like
I'll tell you what, this is crazy. We drove and we drove and we drove and it was just like, man.
How many hours? It was
19.
I checked my trip. I set the trip when I left my driveway, and I think we're at like 1,400 to get here.
1,400 miles.
1,400 miles. And it felt like we were just driving forever.
Yeah, but
then we got to the point where it was like, okay, now we're going to turn left, and then it's all downhill. And we went downhill for a long time. We got right in the middle of these mountains and just kept going down, like through these weaving, hard corners, and the river's running hard and banking and rapids and everything.
River right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Snake
coming
River.
Coming down through Jackson and down
yeah.
the
yeah,
Alpine.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like, but it felt like we went downhill for like an hour and a half. I mean, it was like hard downhill.
Big country too, huh?
Yeah. Huge.
That's what I said. I was like, the sky's bigger out here.
Like, you get to the bottom and see these rapids hitting this corner and you'll look straight
you're
up.
Like, how's the mountain there? Like,
yeah.
that
yeah.
river's running so
it's
hard.
Straight
there.
Up.
It's forever. Cool, this country, for our Midwest listeners have never like been out here and deep into this stuff. It's just so appealing for me personally. Like I look at it, it's like there's so much mystery. It's just you realize how little you are in this world.
Yep.
And I don't really we're used to the Midwest, right? And the fields, and it's kind of just fairly basic terrain. Then you come out here and you're like, man, you can find yourself in some trouble real fast.
I felt like we had some big hills at home, but man, I tell you what, there ain't no way.
What this takes
no.
me back
ain't
to,
nothing.
As crazy as it sounds, I've been listening to a lot of books on tape, like Audible books about like Indians.
Yeah.
And this takes me back on just knowing we're in the territory of Indians.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah. We talked about that
we
on
did,
the way
we did.
We did.
Thinking
we
about,
talked
like,
about that a lot.
Yeah.
Like you're in such big country, and then when like you guys will see when we get you on horses, riding through some of this country, and you'll be riding, you'll be 5 miles deep off like any dirt road, and you're just riding through. And the crazy thing is, when you're on horseback and you're coming through some of this country, when we pull you guys out of Bear Baits,
yeah,
we'll be coming out, and the horses don't always react well to headlamps. So you're coming out of this timbered country with no headlamps. Pitch black on horseback, and the horses, they can see pretty good at night.
Really? I was gonna ask that,
but yeah. but we can't.
Yeah,
so you're riding on a like totally dark, just riding on horseback, and you can just hear the subtle clicking of the horses' feet on the trail, or
right
hooves, whatever.
Yeah,
and just thinking like the pioneers or whoever were out here last, knowing that Indians.
Oh,
I don't
dude.
Know. It's cool. It's
that,
crazy.
Like knowing Indians are out there. If it
yeah,
was like,
knowing Indians are out there or whatever, and just knowing more about like. Because I've been listening to some of these.
It's pretty sweet.
I need to get on.
Tapes.
You have
like,
to give
you know
some recommendations.
The Comanches were total savages.
Really?
Dude. Oh yeah.
I need to
yeah.
learn more about that stuff. It's so interesting.
We were
man.
Talking about these movies and like Last of the Dogmen. And
that's a good movie.
Like,
Last of the Mohicans.
I need to watch it.
Last of the Wolves.
Dances of the Wolves, yeah.
Last of the Mohicans is a good one.
Yep.
I haven't seen
you watch
of
these
movies.
I've
got to watch
I'm telling you.
Dude, Last
so
of
when you're walking through these
good.
Deep woods or these huge mountains.
Just knowing you're in Indian country.
Yeah, it's
just
right.
on horseback and this stuff's just running through your head.
Dude, think
like,
about how hard life had to have been back then.
Dude.
If you lived in mid-20s, you were old.
Yeah, you were old, yeah.
You were ancient.
It's
if you hit
scary.
30, it was probably like a fucking miracle.
Well, I mean,
like right now, I'd be old as shit. It's going to be 32. Think about, I mean, literally.
Right, right.
Is that all?
No, you.
But think about like the.
So
it's just so.
So
vast.
This book, Empire of the Summer Moon. That's the one I listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Long ass book, but it was like 15 hours. But it was about the Comanches,
mm-hmm.
and specifically
oh, that's
this
cool.
terrain, dude.
Yeah.
They were. Like, that shit, you're riding, like, if you guys had listened to that, you're coming out, and you're on horseback, you're riding out of these canyons, and it's, the sun's already set, it's dark outside, you're riding out on horseback, and you're just hearing the subtle clack of the hooves, and thinking of that book, and you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, this is real.
I need to listen to that.
And we're in Comanche country, dude.
Like, yeah. It's crazy to think about. like all the history that's out here.
All of a sudden, you hear that all war, the history. You hear that war cry. It'd be fucking.
And on top of that, knowing we're in country that's, you know, we're in grizzly country, we're in wolf country.
Right,
and that's a big deal for Midwestern lions, people. For us, it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to Wyoming to hunt bears. Oh, with a gun? No, with a bow. Oh, what are you taking for a sidearm? Dude. There's all so many questions. Like, there's wolves out there. There's grizzlies out there. What happens if it want? You know what I mean? Like,
my grandma's stuff that we're not accustomed to.
I'm not using a gun.
Oh, really?
She's like, you should be using a gun to do that. You know,
dude. And the other thing is, when I killed my bear last year, I killed it with a bow, and everybody, when I told them I killed it with a bow, they were like, what?
Yeah.
You killed a bear with your bow? And it was like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, in the hunting community, I think we're kind of, I'm not dumbed down to it, but we're, it's like fairly common.
Yeah.
And all our listeners know, I mean, but assuming that if non-hunters listen to this podcast, they'd be like my family at home is probably, you know, my dad hunts, but like, all right, my wife's family will say that, damn, you're going bear hunting for you're going bow hunting for bears in the mountains of Wyoming. Holy shit, that's nuts.
Dude,
it is cool. It is nuts.
Yeah, it's if you step back from like an outsider's perspective,
the big
picture
is,
this
is
crazy.
Yeah.
But you get down into the rabbit hole of a bow hunter and you're like, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah, a common thing of a bow hunter's mindset. Like, this is shit we think about all the time.
Yep.
You know, this is type of stuff that, like, I mean, fuck, all the way over here, 19-hour drive, roughly, you know, maybe, I don't know, give or take an hour. We talked about all the Western hunts we want to do, and Clint's done the most Western hunts out of all of us. We're talking to him about, like, oh, dude, what experience have you done here? Oh, I want to do this. What points are you building in this unit or this state? And so building up for future hunts so we can keep doing these adventure type. Yep. I consider this an adventure hunt.
Well, and that too, but it was awesome because we were sitting here talking about like us being flatland Midwesters. We're rolling out here, and Austin's like, "Oh yeah, we've been here. Oh yeah, I've been here. I mean, he's been out here.
Yeah, you've been
quite
in
a bit,
a lot of places in Idaho.
Yeah, I've been here and there. Not anything like what Clint's been through, but I've got to see a few Western states, and it's just, I don't know. I got to cut my teeth on it early when I was 14, and it's, the mountains have a special place in my heart, so I get to come out here and look at the big hills and be nestled in this great big basin, and it's, I don't know, it gets me jacked up, brings me back to the old days.
Yeah.
Well, dude, even for me, I'm from Utah, I'm used to hunting big country, and I come out here, and you're just so far from civilization that you're, like, even I'm like, this is a lot like home, the mountains are the same size. But everything's the same size, but I'm so far from people that I'm like, you know, on the Wasatch Front,
Wasatch
where I'm used
front.
To hunting.
Well, you can see lights. You can see the town.
It's big country, but you get in there, and I know that I'm only, you know.
When you got cell phone service everywhere.
I'm an hour hike and a 30-minute drive, and here I'm like, I'm an hour hike and a 4-hour drive. Like, this is...
Yep.
The other spot has a little bit of blanket
like
security
the
there.
Yeah, there's a blanket there.
Well,
and I have cell phone service.
I was going to say, I can be on the front and damn near call you anywhere and be like, hey, you know, like.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Going into a camp like this, I'd say it was nice to have Clint and Austin that have been out here and seen these hills and everything and say, you know, hey, we've been here. Hey, we've done that. This is what you should see. You know, all that. It just, it helps guys that haven't been out here.
Well, especially first people we meet up is Ty and Easton, and you good people right out the gate. So you're not like, you know what I mean? You're with good people you can trust. You feel like you got trust in them. They know the area that like you guys have done this before. It's especially for somebody. I keep going back to that, and I don't mean to do that, but it's just new for all of us to a point. You know, we have experiences here and there, but you don't know what to expect. When you're coming out here, we could get here and it could be like, ah, shit, what are we getting into? Yeah. You know what I mean? But it wasn't that. Like,
but
this is going to be a lot.
Going into, you know, our I guess our reaction to rolling into this camp, man, it's freaking awesome. Like, it's, these tents are set up. Like, we got
a line of wall
tents. Kitchen. Yeah, a line of wall tents. We got a cookhouse right next door.
Yeah. Lake right down below.
Right down, lake right down below. We got it's awesome.
Horses,
like
horses up.
This is legit. You guys put a lot of work in up here.
So. Yeah. And our dinner tonight was awesome.
Yeah, good food, drinks with good people, man. Yeah,
and we feel awesome safe.
Yeah, no kidding, No kidding. I mean, that does, that plays a lot. And but no, man, I mean, this is cool. I'm pumped. First bear hunt ever. Like, I probably beat this to death already, but I've never seen a bear in the wild. I haven't yet. So
it's going to be awesome.
I mean, I'm going to probably shit my pants, right? Like, anybody who hasn't seen a bear in the wild, especially if he's at 20 yards.
There's literally nothing like it when you see your first bear come in, and you're going to be like, holy shit.
Really?
This is nuts. Like, this is insane. Yeah. It's I can't even put a finger on it. It's going to be crazy. You're going to...
Yep.
It's an experience, though.
Yeah, because it's a major predator that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, could rip your fucking face off if you know, if it had to, like, if that was the, you know...
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's...
Oh, it wants to kill, you know, if it's just decided,
you know, like, I'm back home, you see a bobcat, you see a coyote, you see a fox, like, yeah, I mean, you know,
I stand a better chance.
Right, exactly,
Like, a bear?
I could fuck a coyote up.
Been in and around between deer hunting and coon hunting, I've been around coyotes a lot, and I mean, I've never once been like...
I've never been scared of a coyote.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm afraid.
People in Illinois, I swear... You walk through the woods in the dark with coyotes, I'm like, holy shit. Have you never been in the woods?
I've never been afraid of that.
Has that ever crossed your mind, ever, the whole time?
Well, when you live in the timber every night, you just hear them howling on the walk down. I mean, it's just, you get used
to it. That's not a thing that happens.
That's pretty normal.
Has it ever happened?
Coyotes attacking somebody?
Yeah, in Illinois.
No.
You get to be the same way with black bears. You get to the point where you're like, get out of here. Deal. Like, I'm no big deal. You hike out. Like, I got
unless you accidentally trip over a cub and kick it. And now you're screwed.
At that point, mama is coming.
I got to the point.
And she will be pissed.
I started out with the sidearm. And, like, my first year hunting black bears, I started out with the sidearm. And it was, like, always on alert. And I'd come down in the dark and be all worried. And it got to the point where I was... Dude, I haven't had a sidearm on me in years.
I hear that a lot.
But there is a level of respect where you know that if they wanted to, you're...
Yeah, you need to respect them for sure.
Yeah.
And be aware of situations, but Well,
I got begged to take my sidearm on this trip, and I wasn't going to bring one because I don't want to fucking carry it, honestly. I just don't want to have...
That's why I stopped carrying one. Yep. I was like, it's a pain in the ass. Like,
me too.
The thing is,
they're
though...
They're heavy, they're pulling on my pants.
But like, one smack from one of these sounds...
The one time you need it, you're going to be like, God damn it, I wish I had that sidearm.
You guys see that guy on Instagram? He got his face
rolled off.
Okay.
These are the kinds of conversations you need to have the night before you go bear hunting.
Yeah, exactly. You're scared.
So I didn't. There was a whole podcast on the story.
What podcast?
That people, I don't know. Devin was telling me about it. There's a whole podcast on the story, but basically what I got out of it was there was a den. The dad, this like 60-year-old man, went to look in the den. Okay, 77 went to look in the den. The sun was like up above the den. And he started yelling, "The bear's coming for me." Basically, the bear charged out, grizzly bear up in Alaska, and mauled this guy. And while he was mauling him, the sun came out, shot the bear a couple... He shot four times, I think. This bear literally scalped this guy's face. You could see his face was literally drooping below. Literally, it looked like a skeleton, and his skin was all hanging down below.
This is a grizzly, not a black bear.
And the dad... had the wherewithal to be like, we need to remain calm in this situation, get some video of this, we need to get back to camp. They rode 25 miles on snowmobiles, and in the pictures you see this guy's face drooping down, dead giant grizzly bear at the snowmobile.
10.5
So it died at the snowmobile.
Holy fuck.
They ride 25 miles back down to the cabin. It was a total of 5.5 hours before he made it to
the
hospital.
How did he not bleed to death?
You look at the face, it's beyond me how he made it. I don't know.
And he...
did you get to see it?
He saw the picture on Instagram or something.
Yeah.
He's like just sitting
on unreal.
He's just sitting on the snowmobile.
He guided the helicopter pilots to the hospital because apparently there was a big controversy with the son that ended up shooting that bear off of him. Something about he was in the hospital and they weren't giving him the medicine.
He's probably
in
the psych ward for freaking the
This happened before, though. It was a big, weird deal.
Wow. Well, I mean, Jesus, can you imagine that? I don't know, man. I would just ball up. You know?
It's just one of those things, man. You get stuck in that situation. You don't know what you're doing. I mean, dude, your adrenaline kicks in. You have no idea what's going on. This bear is obviously just huge.
Well, you see those videos of... I love that we're talking about this. You see those videos like people getting attacked. There was a video I saw in the OGs group that we have, the working class group. Doug said of that dude that gets attacked by that jaguar.
Oh, yeah.
He's filming this river. He's like in the Amazon, and he's got the selfie mode on, and then he like films behind him. The camera goes down, and they replay it in slow motion. There's a jaguar right behind him, like, and they show pictures of him laying in a hospital bed, just slit, like the whole back, just lacerations, like you'd never imagine you could have. But it's,
you know,
stuff like that, dude. Like a tiger, like Tiger King was the worst thing that probably happened for tigers, but
Carol Baskin,
yeah. God damn it, I love it though. But a tiger is a horrifying animal.
Oh,
that
God.
Thing exists somewhere.
Have you seen the videos of people like on, there's a ton of videos of people like riding the little mopeds through India and the tiger jumps out of the trees and starts chasing the moped and they're hauling it.
Do you see that one where they're in China or they're somewhere on like a game preserve? China. That might not have been China. Asia somewhere. Same difference. I'm just kidding. This is a joke. Everybody sell down. All I could go back and put a turkey gobble over that one.
Holla, holla.
There's like a guy and his girlfriend getting an argument, and they're on like a game, not a game preserve. I don't know the right term, but it's like a drive-through zoo thing. And they get in an argument, and she gets out of the car and like walks around the other side of the car.
I've seen this.
And this tiger runs up and jacks her and takes off with her.
Yep, gone.
Like 5 seconds she was outside the car, tiger, gone. But you know, I heard he ran out of the car and kind of like, you can tell he's hesitating because what the fuck do you do? The tiger let go of her and got him and killed him, and she lived.
No shit. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Dude, there's like crazy.
I'll be going to hell.
Crazy high amount of people that get jacked in like India from tigers.
Well, yeah, man. Jeez. They fun hunt is what I heard.
They need to control the numbers.
Yeah, it's a thrill. It's a thrill thing.
I heard that. I heard wolves fun hunt too.
Yeah, all fuck yeah, they do. Red wolves down in like New Mexico, Arizona area, dude. They'll kill cattle, kill sheep, kill just for thrill kill.
I've heard they do that with elk too.
Oh yeah,
they just go wipe them out and keep moving.
Well, and they'll train their little cubs too, pups.
Really?
They'll train them like, hey, this is how you're gonna kill.
It's turned into a hell of a lot of killing, but. And attacks, but honestly,
I mean, have respect for wildlife, man.
You do. You gotta have it.
That's what it boils down to. I mean, but you know, we are bow hunting black bears. Like it kind of gets stuck. Like you said, you kind of get a numbness to some of it a little bit. But
you're still on guard, though. I mean,
how often does somebody get mauled by a black bear?
Well, I mean, you really.
I mean, if it happens, I'm sure. But
you got to trip over that cub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trip over a cub, you're done.
You're done. Well,
don't trip over a cub.
That's right. A guy we know, he runs the Fall podcast, Aaron Blysey. He's the field producer and I think one of the main producers for the Kiefer Brothers. And he's like, I've hunted brown bear or grit. Well, he's been around brown bears in Alaska and black bears. Because what I've learned, he has been charged by both. And what I've heard is that grizzlies will maul you and play with you before they kill you. And he goes, black bears will just kill you. So I'm like, oh, sick, dude, thanks.
That's exciting.
Typically, they're more aggressive.
fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact. Nice little tidbit you added in there. Thanks.
We're up here in bear camp. That's fun fact.
Oh, nice. All right. I'll tell my wife that one. But, no, I'm excited, man.
Just thank God our wives aren't going to be able to hear this until after we're back home.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. I sent the presets in my Garmin. I'm just like, I'm safe. We're back at camp. I'll text you again when I can. Like, send that and call it a day.
So we were getting some texts back. It was nice.
Yep. Good times, man. Well, I'm excited. There's a long week ahead, but a good fun week. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully, you get some bears down. And I'm a little nervous about the horse ride. I can't lie.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am looking forward to it.
But you'll enjoy it. It's fun.
It's just going to be the initial like. 10 minutes of like, all right, this is what we're okay.
I can't have a spotlight on the way back, that's going to be kind of sketchy.
It's going to be. That's the most trippy part of it all is coming back on the horses in the dark because the horses they know where home is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're coming out on horseback, pitch black,
not knowing where the fuck you're going.
Not knowing, and so my only piece of advice is just kind of keep your head down a little bit low. so that tree branches and shit aren't catching in the eyes or whatever. But yeah, they
trust the horse pretty much.
I'm just gonna kick my horse and close my eyes, and hopefully I'll wind up here.
Kick it really hard.
Yeah,
they know where camp is, so it is a wild experience. So coming back on horseback in the dark.
I bet, man.
That's pretty cool.
And it's dead silent outside. I mean, all you're hearing is the subtle clicking of the hooves coming through timber and deadfall and everything else. So it's
going to be an adventure, man.
That's going to be fun.
It'll be one of those things to talk about for a long time.
I'm jacked because Trey gave me the fucking green light. I can go run and gun, glass, spot stock.
You doing that tomorrow morning?
I think tomorrow I'm going to go check a few spots. And just kind of get an idea of where I can go and stay away from baits and stuff. But, yeah I'm pumped for that.
That's cool.
Well, and there's a ton of game to see, too. So, my first weekend up here, I saw mountain goat, elk, deer, antelope.
Orgy.
Sounds like
I'm about to go join.
Classic.
Mountain goat, elk, deer, antelope, and... I didn't see a bear that day, but no, all in one day, it was like, holy shit.
Such
like,
a variety out here.
Such a variety.
You know what we got in Illinois?
At least 500 antelope.
Oh, easy. We got turkey, and we got deer.
Yeah.
What you want? Which one?
Coyotes. We got coyotes.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know if they're considered, like, a game animal.
And we got wolves. You got a possibility. They seen fresh tracks up there, so there's a possibility of seeing wolves.
I don't think I've ever...
Coyotes.
Got to see a wolf in real life.
Ooh, I've had him right underneath me.
I got to see a lot of
predators.
A wolf is one of my bucket list things.
Is it really?
Like a black wolf. Like, I think that almost topped my list.
Really?
I don't know why, but
really?
Something I'm into, I guess.
It'd be one of those things, like, if one came through, I was like, oh, look at that. It's a wolf. Then it would be on my bucket list. But it's not something that's in my... I don't know, my bucket list, I try... Like, what... How long is a bucket list? How many animals?
What's on the top of your bucket
list?
Every
one of them.
Yeah, we talked about this earlier. Tom Miranda's bucket list. That's mine.
What's the top three?
That's right. Elk top number three. One.
Elk? Okay.
Yeah. Elk number one. Big mule deer with a bow, number two.
Okay.
Well, okay. So, moose is probably number one, but in my head, I don't feel like it's realistic right now. One day it will be.
Yeah.
But right now I'm kind of like, one day I'll do the moose hunt. And I know you guys have got a moose hunt plan, Ross and Austin do. But right now in my head, as of like, in times that I'm going for in the next few years, elk with a bow, big mule deer with a bow, black bear is in there. That's what I'm focused on now.
Okay. Ross?
I'm going to go moose, elk, caribou. Big muley.
Caribou's a good one.
Actually, shoot. Now, I'm drawing a blank. I'm drawing a blank here.
We've had a long couple of days.
We're running on
5 hours. These guys are on no sleep.
Are you thinking about stag?
No. Stag would be awesome, but that's unrealistic for me. I mean, that's
my
like
number
$30,000.
Stag is?
Red stag's my number one.
No kidding.
And then moose is number two. Yeah.
And then number three?
Tatanka
probably
would be pretty sweet.
Probably a big velvet muley.
Okay.
What would you say?
I said Tatanka would be pretty sweet.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Tatanka.
Dancing with Wolves.
See, I gotta watch it.
Okay,
Clint? What's that big muskox? Muskox
are sweet.
Muskox.
Clint, what's yours? Well, Ty, what's yours first? We're going around table.
Mine?
Yeah, you're asking the question. You're doing a great job, but I gotta ask you.
Sheep is probably at the top.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And probably partially because I come from like a big mountainous area that seems like big country to me, but like the dream hunt would be horseback into the whole ambiance of a sheep hunt where you're flying into a remote location and then you're getting into a float plane.
Right.
Flying even further into remote location and then riding horseback and then being 14 days in the backcountry.
Yep. That would be cool.
Of a sheep hunt, like a doll sheep. Mexico mule deer, it's just...
Dude,
I'm a mule
cool.
deer guy, so... Desert muleys down in Mexico, down in Sonora. That's you know, they're killing some giants down there these days, so that's probably on the top. And then number three is probably a whitetail. I've never killed a whitetail.
No kids out here.
So this we don't hear that. A mind blower for help.
I'm
going to help you with that.
Well, we'll have to conversate, between everybody. Yes,
so I'd say everybody sitting at this table might be able to help you out.
Yeah.
I'd say we can get you on a whitetail. I mean, sooner or later we can figure something out.
A whitetail is probably,
You're supposed to come out to my place this fall if you can fit it in with Jason and Dallas.
That'd be cool, man.
So whitetail is probably, it's right up there in the top three.
Well, you got Missouri, you got Ohio, and you got three boys from Illinois.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know if it gets any better than that.
I don't think it does.
Buying the tags could get expensive, but you could get three whitetails.
Yeah, you could do some work in a season and have some fun. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I like hearing that. I do. Yep.
I think there's a lot of Western guys that, I think there's a shitload of Western guys that are mule deer. You know, everybody wants what they can't have.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's women or
money,
hunting animals,
cars,
like people want what they can't have. So, a lot of these mule deer guys, they have it on their bucket list to kill a whitetail.
That makes sense.
One of the top of my list.
Yep, for sure. Clint, what's yours? What's your number one right now?
Rocky Mountain Bighorn. Or mountain goat, one and two.
So really? Sheep because, and goat.
Just because they live in the fucking gnar.
Yeah,
I mean, you are living in the gnarliest of the gnarly.
Yeah.
Where nobody wants to go.
And, whenever I hear, like, sheep country, I think, like...
And with a bow,
I think
just... There's so much that goes into it. I mean, there could be times where you've got the perfect shot, but it falls off a cliff and you can't get it out. I mean, there's so many variables of just...
Right. It's got to all work out.
It'd be a hunt that...
There's a guy, if you're interested in sheep, Dustin Rowe, yeah. R-O-E.
Oh, yeah.
You got to follow Dustin Rowe on Instagram. He's a sheep outfitter up in
life. Is that the dude that was guiding, like, Tom Miranda? That's a dude I always think of. He always wore the big, like, skunk hat.
Dustin Rowe's guided Miranda, but he's younger.
Yeah, this dude,
he's
I thought
young
was a younger
dude,
guy.
You follow his page and you totally suck in,
if you follow Sitka at all... He's on there all his shots, his photography and stuff. I mean, his shots are.
You just get the feel for sheep hunting.
Yeah,
you know what it's all about. Yeah. He's got.
There'd be sheep and goats.
He went on a kick for a while where he was posting all these kill shots, and you're just like looking at the country, and you're like,
crazy,
hell.
Just insane, insane shit.
You're just in just giant country, like way above timberline.
What's it take to draw a tag for one of those? I mean, it depends what state, right?
I'm building in multiple states.
20 years?
It just depends. No, Colorado archery, honestly, you can get one for... I know guys that you can't draw a tag until after you've applied for 4 years. I know guys that have drawn on their fourth or fifth year.
And got
archery tag.
If you want to pay money, you're looking at 20, 25 grand for a doll sheep. That's the cheapest of the sheep. And then for... Rocky Mountain's probably, and I could be totally wrong here, but Rocky Mountain's probably the next.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you're probably around 30, 40 grand.
What are the sheep tags you always see that go for like 300,000?
Oh, well, those are like governor tags.
Yeah, but
you can go anywhere you want in the state.
Desert sheep is historically like the most expensive. So you go like Dall, Rocky Mountain Bighorn, Stone Sheep, and then Desert.
Then Desert.
Desert's typically the most expensive. And
is that considered a Grand Slam?
Yeah, those four.
If you're a sheep slam.
Yep.
You're a bad motherfucker if you got a sheep slam.
You're a rich motherfucker.
You're a rich man.
You're not a rich guy necessarily. There's a lot of guys, you can will your way into it. So there's a lot of guys that are, dude, there's so many of these sheep foundations where you can put into these lottery tags and like buy these $5 raffle tickets and put in for them.
I put in.
You can be applying for all these different Western states. You can be applying for these tags. Yeah. And so there's a lot of ways to
lottery draws
to kind of work your
way
around it. But for the most part, it is a rich man sport where you're paying a ton of money for these. And, you know, you've got Dall sheep, which is the cheapest at 25 grand. And then you go to Rocky Mountain Bighorn. And then you go to Stone Sheep, and then deserts, which are, you know, you're 60 to 80 grand for a desert sheep.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going down to Mexico or...
Right. I think Tom Miranda did that
Mexico,
three times.
Mexico, Utah.
Last animal in his slam.
And that's whatever. And that's guided. You know, I mean, that's your, you know...
Well, if you drop that kind of money, I would want it guided 1,000%.
You pay that amount of money, you want to know that you're coming home with a desert sheep.
You don't have time to, like...
But the funny thing is, you look at the statistics of people that are paying for these doll sheeps or Rocky Mountain Bighorn or Stone Sheeps.
Yeah.
Go look at the statistics. You better make sure you're going with an outfitter that has high odds, because a lot of them are going and not killing on their first or second trip. They're killing on their third trip. And, you know, outfitters will do discounted odds.
And see, like, my deal is, I don't want no outfitter. I want to go.
Yeah, I get the appeal. I get the appeal, but
third would be a 65 plus Yukon, big fucking moose.
Yeah, yeah. Moose caribou is a good one up there. Why the sheep thing? And then I want to get to you guys about your top bucket list hunts. How long? I mean, how are you ever too old to do a sheep hunt because of the?
I mean,
there is an age limit on.
I think
that,
it just depends on how bad you want it. I mean,
it depends on the sheep. So desert, right. I see older guys killing desert sheep. Yep.
Easier than stone
or doll sheep. There probably is a shelf life.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what it is, but you know.
Dude, even like you go to Montana, go hunt some of them giant bighorns up in the gnar. I mean, fuck.
They just live up in the fucking.
You're living on legends. Yeah, I mean, you're living
on above
crevices.
Timberline.
Yeah,
and
that's why you don't see them.
Right. Yeah, the gnarly, you know, and same with mountain goat. I mean, it's not that it's hard to kill them. It's just hard to live up there.
Hard to get where they're at.
Yeah, go to where they are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been in Colorado.
And it depends on what you're hunting with, too. Bow or rifle.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what changes the whole thing is the archery.
You're
going after those things with stick and string. That's two totally different sports.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, so you got red stag at the top of your list, huh?
That'd be my number one, because I love antlers. And in my opinion, you can't get gnarlier antlers than a big red stag, a 400-inch red stag.
Dude, it's like Joe Rogan says. Oh, it's a horse with freaking trees growing out.
Yeah, to me, it reminds me of an elk, but with a humongous whitetail's non-typical characteristics. Like, you get that mass and that girth and that character, and their antlers are wild.
And now, remember, Austin's killed a 350-inch bull, so he's...
Not 350, no.
Okay.
He'd probably net, like, 300, okay. But he was a good bull. But
really good bull.
That'd be my number one, and then... Moose, obviously, big antlers again, enormous paddles, just huge animals, and the environment they live in is just, I want to see Alaska.
Rugged and rough, you got to be tough.
So we're doing that one next year, and then a big velvet muley, like a big 170s plus velvet muley.
Get you out to Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm building points for Utah.
And a big mountain lion, a big 150 plus pound cat. Like,
That'd be cool.
Those are probably my four big ones.
Danny, what's yours?
Probably elk, I guess, would have to be at the top. And, of course, moose in Alaska, just like what you guys are about to do. Just because I've fished Alaska, but I've never hunted Alaska. I think that'd be cool to do. And that wolf's up there, man.
That's interesting, man. I like that, though. I do. That's cool. That'd be awesome.
I want a black one, but I'm not gonna be picky.
No, that's cool. Everyone's got that, man, that bucket list. It's the animal, but it's like how to get the animal is like what surrounds and what makes it.
That's what's always intrigued me with mule deer. Is there again? It's just a tough, you know, where they live, what they do, how to get good.
Well, especially a bunch of flatlanders coming out here, like, you know, thinking about working point systems, and I don't know. It's scary to make the jump sometimes. So you got to just do it once, and it's not as bad. And then it just seems like you
come
back every year. You got
to dive in and go.
You got to just go.
For me, it's been, now that I have kids, you know, I've got a 6- and 8-year-old. I don't know why. It just seems like the older I've gotten, the more it is about, like, the pursuit of the animal. More so than the actual kill of the animal.
Yeah, yeah.
It might sound weird, but, like, it can almost be anticlimactic to harvest an animal where I'm like, oh, it's done. Like, this
is it.
Yeah.
It's a chase. It's the chase of, like...
It doesn't matter what you're doing. I mean, honestly, if you have a goal to build a brand new house and you work, it's the chase.
The house is done and you're like,
wow. You're like, oh, what's the next thing now?
Yeah.
It's the chase. That's the fun part.
It's shit that keeps, like, the human mind and, like,
you
just rocking. You know, you need that. That's what I do when dudes retire and they're like, all right, I'm just going to do nothing. Then they die.
Then they die. Always.
Always.
They always die.
They retire. They get two paychecks from Social Security. Then they gone. It's just the way it is, though. Like, it's, you got to keep moving, man.
Yep.
You got to have something to keep your brain ticking.
Always keep your mind moving.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. It's, I don't know, man. Human nature. But I think it's all, hunters are good people, and hunters have that mind, that inner tick of mindset that keeps us going and kind of just like a common camaraderie and friendship that we can find.
It really is, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just awesome to sit here and have all these goals. But I mean, like, every outdoorsman wants these goals. They set their goals and then they want to go after them. And
yeah,
man, it's just awesome.
Well,
when I just think about too, on top of that, like the people I've met through hunting that I wouldn't have met otherwise.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Or right. Not even like the people I've met, it's been awesome, but like the journeys and the places that I have gone to see because of hunting that I wouldn't have seen otherwise. So,
yeah.
You know, just being this an outdoorsman, right, hunting certain things, I've met amazing people that have changed my life. I've gone to places that have changed my life, and it makes me want to be a better human being. And ultimately be a better dad in a crazy, weird way.
Yep. Right, because you want to share that and pass that on.
Yeah, and I have these crazy life experiences while I'm out in the woods or while I'm meeting these new people, and I'm like, I want to teach my kids this, or I want to teach my kids this, because I've learned it either out in the woods or through meeting new people.
Right,
awesome.
Hunting's got like a powerful like aura to it, that because it's like, I could think, if I didn't hunt, I don't know what else I would do that would bring that sense of community. I'd be a white trash hood rat somewhere, but like just up to no good. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
BMX bike, just
you'd be really good at working on Harleys.
I'd be good at working on Harleys is what I'd be doing.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
well, this is cool.
Most people are sitting home watching the Kardashians and eating potato chips. Like, I just think like I'm staying in better shape and my mind's not rotting. Yeah. So,
well, it's just like I don't know. I just. For people that don't hunt, like, we're coming out here to Wyoming, and there's dudes and doing this, and there's people at home that just like going through the motions all the time. They don't ever have like anything they're chasing or like something they think about all the time.
This money, if you were to look at the money you spent on booking a hunt like this out of state, you could almost look at it as an investment. Yourself.
A life investment.
Yep. A life investment in yourself of what you're going to learn and what you're going to pull out of this mentally when you come home.
Exactly.
For sure. Well, no one can take shit like this away from you. You know, you could buy a truck and...
Yeah, it all depends on what you want to spend your money on. You know, you want a nice truck, or do you want to go to your grave with some experiences?
Some life experiences. Yeah. That's for sure.
You're not going to look back and be like, man, I had a sweet 2014 Silverado.
Right.
Yeah, no one gives a shit about that.
Put 100,000 miles on it. Great truck. You'd be like, dang.
Yeah, when you're laying on your deathbed going, son, remember that time I rolled my ankle up on the mountain at 12,000 feet?
And I hit the SOS button like a bitch.
That's what you're going to be talking about.
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. For sure. Just the crazy shit. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Already making friends. First night, we're already kicking it off like this. This is good.
There's going
to
be a bunch more.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, I'm feeling good about the content we're hustling already.
So, real quick. While we're still on here.
Yeah.
The drive?
Oh, it was a haul.
It was a haul. Would you fly next time?
We would have flown. We booked flights. We had flights.
Right. If COVID's not going on the next time, we're flying.
Yeah.
I think I'd fly to the west end of Nebraska and then hop in a rental and drive. Because that's where it got pretty.
That's fair.
Once you get out of Nebraska, it gets pretty. But Nebraska sucked.
Nebraska was a long one, man.
Oh, I bet you.
It's a haul.
Yeah,
wow. It's a haul. I remember we got to Nebraska, and I've been across Nebraska a few times, and I was like, God damn, how fucking wide is Nebraska?
Yeah, but what about
7 hours wide?
Yeah. When you get through all of that, we meet in Alpine, and then coming up this canyon.
Yeah,
was there any kind of emotion like, I'm here, we've done it, like driving up the canyon?
Yeah,
having the river cutting down below the road.
We were all like, man, check this out. I think we were a little shelled over of being like, we just want to get out of this truck.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for sure.
Oh, definitely.
For sure.
And then getting up at the bear camp, realizing, hey, I'm here. Like,
we made it, boys. We're at camp.
It's final.
And the camp is, it's kind of a big camp. You know, there's 10 wall tents hanging over this high mountain lake.
Well, I was
horses
like,
up in the stalls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Incredible. And the whole time I was worried, we're pulling the podcast trailer. And keep in mind, like, we're a working class bow hunter. We're not like triple axle.
Rich class
neck.
Bow hunter. Yeah.
We're not high class. I mean, we're going to change the name to White Trash Bow Hunter here soon. We decided.
I like that. It's got a good ring to it.
Yeah. White Trash Bow Hunter. Check us out.
Not rich ass. We're white trash.
Yeah. So we got an $800 trailer that we got to wrap on that, you know. Like, sick. Cool, sick. We'll take this over some rocks.
Clear out the fucking nickel turned upwards. Yeah.
Dude, we hit some of those holes full of water coming up the side, and I'm like, that thing's full of water.
Now, I had to pull over, and I was like, hey, guys, kick that thing into four-wheel drive and just don't stop.
I watched that trailer come off the ground four times on the way up to camp.
Well, it's just potholes.
I was like, easy, Russ, throw them potholes, you know, because
Russ
Adam's
like, hey, don't worry about your trailer. Worry about my truck.
Yeah. We're going to have to...
I'm sorry about your trailer, but dude, my truck.
We're going to have to jack the trailer up and check the wheel bearings on it before we head home.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. It'll make it.
She's running good. Real fine piece of machinery.
Oh, yeah.
We're balling on a budget, boys and girls.
Yep.
Anyway, hey, let's kill some bears this week, huh?
Let's do it.
Game time.
Well, thanks, guys. This is a fun podcast. Kind of pulled it out of our hat and made it rock.
I think that was an official bullshitting podcast.
Is there anything else that should be covered?
I'm trying
from
to...
the initial reaction to bear camp. You guys just pulled in. We're literally sitting in a wall tent.
I don't know. I kind of knew
with the
wood
burning stove.
Yeah,
like miles from the nearest town.
You know, the coolest thing is we got a little bitty creek of water running right through next to our wall tent.
It's consistent.
Yeah, what's everybody's gut reaction to camp? So yours is the little creek that's literally 2 feet from the edge of
it's a nice oasis type sound. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a sound machine.
Austin?
Mine's just the anticipation of knowing there's a couple big bears running around out there.
Giants.
I'm not going to lie. I really want to kill a bear. I like the experience itself. But
just seeing that first dark blob move through the evergreens, coming because you know they're coming 20 yards from you to the bay. Yeah. It's just, it gets you jacked
up. The anticipation of what could be.
Yep.
That's what I want.
Honestly, there's been a few times just on the drive up here on the little ATV trail, I'm going to call it. Like, you just look up at the sky and say thank you, like.
Yep.
How did I get lucky enough to come here?
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
And that's what I'm talking about with, like, you could think about spending money on hunts like this, but you look up at the life experience you're having, look up the open country, and just be like, God, I'm lucky to be here.
Yeah.
Like,
I could go home right now and feel fine about the money I spent.
Yep.
Oh, come on, we gotta kill a bear.
Bro. Well, I mean, I want to kill a bear, but I'm just saying it's been that good so far.
Oh, just wait until you get on horseback. Like, you're gonna be...
The adventure starts tomorrow.
I ride out on those horses, and I'm like, what am I... Like,
I can't wait, man.
How am I here? Is this real?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a different perspective on horses. I have a feeling I'm gonna learn to love them.
Kurt, what's your gut reaction pulling into camp?
I'm jacked up, man. I've been really heavily into, like, whites hunting, bow hunting for a long time. Like, most of my life, heavily, and I've had good success. And now it's like I'm trying to chase, like, dreams of, like chipping through that bucket list, you know?
Yep.
So, like, when I see it, I'm jacked up. But, like, I want to be successful on this hunt big time. That's, for me, still, that's a big factor. Like, even though I could say, like, it's just about the camp and the experience, that is a big factor. But for me, I do want to kill a bear. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, that's... Yep. For me, that's up there. That's number one. And then, but you know, if I don't, that's hunting. You know, that's why they call it hunting, not killing. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's I'm just jacked up about the whole thing, honestly.
Well, I think
because this hunt came out of nowhere for us.
Yeah.
Really.
For sure.
You know, Clint called me like, "We're going fucking bear hunting." I'm like, all right.
Like, what was that? A month ago?
Yeah.
On Easter Sunday.
A month ago. Yeah.
I called you on Easter Sunday.
This was a quickie, man. We just threw it together real fast, and here we are.
Yep.
I'm
ready to ride. I'm ready to shoot some bears. And
we ride at dawn, bitches.
We ride at dawn. Let's close her out. Thanks, fellas. It was fun.
Yeah, it was
a good time.
We'll do her again.
All right, close her out. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.